Welcome in, everybody. I'm Otter Pop 18, and we're doing another Otter Nonsense podcast. I have with me Erica Newgirl, and I am super excited to have you here. Thank you so much for coming on today. How are you again? And we were just before we started, we were talking about your 1 year anniversary stream, and I was asking you about that. So can you go ahead and tell me about all of the things you have planned for that?
Yeah, it's going to be a fun day. For those of you who don't know me, I do a lot of variety streaming. So in terms of scheduled content, I'm going to play probably a huge plethora of games, everything from a little bit of Phasmophobia to Rocket League, probably a little bit of Among Us at some point in the 24 hours. I mean, so it's a subathon, and I foresee it's pretty going to be pretty easy to make it into a 24-hour stream. So I'm getting ready for the long haul there. And then I have a lot of fun incentives, things like, you know, we get X amount of stuff happening, then we're going to have a Discord PJ party at a later date. Aww. Or I'm going to drop everything I'm doing and perform a magic show for y'all. And that's what I've been practicing
okay,
the most.
Okay, so that's
lately.
The goal, guys.
And then, like, I have another goal where if you reach a certain goal, I will play Minecraft for a week, which I cannot begin to describe to you how much I do not understand Minecraft, or, like, I don't get it. I've never enjoyed watching people play it, but people apparently love it. And so I'll play it for a week, and we'll go from there.
That's fantastic. Like, you just... putting yourself out there playing a game that you don't really care about. But can we go back to the magic tricks? Now,
yes we can.
Okay. Is it okay if because I know you do a certain line of work. Am I okay talking about that? I don't know how personal you want it. Sorry, I should have asked that beforehand. Does your line of work that you do tie back into that? Like, do they come together, or is this something you just like lit on your own? And learned on your own.
So I am a trained clown.
Such a cool thing.
I've been a performer all of my life. My first paid theatrical gig was like age 16, and I've had paid gigs ever since. You know, maybe a few years here and there of not paying gigs. Sometimes I do work for very little to nothing. But I am trained. I went to the school. I went to clown school, and I've always also loved magic. Like, as a little kid, when I was like 5 or 6, I learned a bunch of magic tricks. I taught a bunch of my friends, and literally I made us go door to door, knocking on people's houses and just being like, hey, can we do a magic show for like 50 cents or something? It was like ridiculously cheap. This was the late 80s. Things were cheap back then.
50 cents was a lot back then.
Yeah, we made enough money so that every kid who performed a magic show, we could all go to the grocery store after and buy ourselves each one candy bar.
Oh.
So that was my first entrepreneurial adventure.
That is, oh my God, that's so cute. I love that so much. Okay, so this is a little off track. So what led to the clown school thing? Because literally, I don't think I've ever met a professional clown in my life, and that is literally one of the coolest things. I just like, yeah. How do you get into that exactly?
Well, so I studied theater in my undergrad at the mm-hmm. University of North Dakota, got a BFA in theater performance, and I almost quit theater completely forever near the end of it. I was not happy with the program I was at. I felt like just giving up theater completely because of stuff that happened at that time. But what kept me in the theater is I did a weekend workshop on physical comedy with someone who's an alumni of the school I went to. And one weekend with him reminded me everything I loved about theater when I was like back in high school, when it was just like high energy, high physicality, having a lot of fun on stage. And then through a series of like fortunate events, I kept running into this guy at a couple of different theater festivals, mm-hmm. but before I graduated from college. And so I decided after we ended up having lunch together at one of these festivals, and he talked more about specifically about the school, what the training is like and everything like that. And I decided if I was going to go anywhere for any type of post-undergrad training in theater, I was going to go to this school.
Okay.
Cut to about a year later, and I was married at the time, and my wife at the time decided she was going to go to law school in San Francisco, which is very close to the school. Mm-hmm. So I applied, I got in, and then she decided to switch schools to Jacksonville, Florida, and we went our separate to separate coasts, and I started getting a divorce during clown. During
no!
Clown
training,
which I don't recommend to anyone ever.
Well, any kind of life change like that during any kind of school has got to be hard. And I don't know if this is too personal, did that make you question it, or did you just kind of latch down harder and say, this is what I am passionate about, I'm going to continue forward pushing through it?
I think, I mean, what, there was so much change happening. And for, like, to be fair to everyone involved in the divorce process, when she went to law school and I went to clown school, we both changed so rapidly. I mean, we were two kids. We were high school sweethearts from a tiny town in the middle of North Dakota, middle of nowhere. And when we both went to our respective schools on opposite sides of the coast, we both changed radically. Mm-hmm. And there was no way we were compatible by the time we reached the end of our first school years or whatever.
Right.
And so for me, I'm actually so incredibly grateful that it happened, that we got divorced, because it allowed me to eventually go to Los Angeles. I lived there for a number of years. I lived in Portland for a little while. I now reside in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where I work with a theater troupe that has a lot of roots in clowning and physical theater. I've had so many wild, amazing adventures because of it that, like, if I was still sitting in Jacksonville, Florida, I would probably be miserable.
No, for sure. I hear so many stories like that where people are in these relationships and they're together from such a young age, and mm-hmm. they just grow up and they grow apart. And it's not anyone's fault. It's just who they grow into as a person. It's just not who they were when they were kids. And I think that honestly is an important message for people to understand, like, you know, it's okay if you get, you know, you're with this person from a young age and you had a good, you know, you had a lot together, but you just grew apart, and that's fine. You just grew into who you are now. And I love who you are. I'm grateful for the journey you went on because it brought you to us. So that is amazing. Okay, I'm sorry. I know we went a little, that went way off the direction I was going to take that, but I'm so happy you got to know you just a little bit better there. My questions are usually a little more light than that, but
I'm a Scorpio, so I attract like all the deep, heavy stuff right away. Let's just break open. Let's just go for it.
We're just ripping it open. I love it. And I appreciate you sharing that because I know that's personal, but it was wonderful to hear it. And again, learning more about you as a person was wonderful. I'm going to dig into the questions I sent you just a little more lighthearted. I always start with asking about the gamer tag. It's, you know, a big part of your brand and identity on Twitch, especially a streamer. And so what inspired it? Like, I mean, I know we've talked about this, but for people watching and listening, what inspired the name?
Yeah, for Erica New Girl, it was literally, so surprise, I'm a queer transgender woman. and when I started transitioning about almost, it was exactly like 3 years ago, I made an Instagram account, and this was like my safe place to like start posting photos of me as I began transitioning. And it was just like this safe little spot. And nearly at the exact same time, my best friend growing up, he got onto Twitch, and he is a speedrunner of some games. And he's like, hey, it'd be lovely if like you could just come watch my stream and stuff, mm-hmm. just to have some viewers and while I speedrun these games. And so I made a Twitch account, and like, I'm not going to make any sort of username that had to do with any of my previous identity. So I was just like, well, I guess I just made this Erica New Girl, which is like literal, just as literal as you can get with where I was at in life. And I was just like, all right, I'm going to go with that on Twitch. Not thinking at all about streaming or anything. I was like, you know, 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago. And here we are now. Now I'm known as Erica New Girl by, you know, all my community here.
I think that's beautiful, though, because this is a tender thing for you to come and, you know, transition into. And a lot of people struggle mm-hmm. with that. And I feel like you making that username really, what's the word I want to use? My brain is going blank. But it just shows just that you've got the courage to stand up and say, this is who I am. And not just to your friends who you're supporting through church, but through your own community. And I think that's beautiful. I think there's a lot to be said. And just because it may be simple, like, okay, mine is very, mine's very simple. I like otters. Like, okay, it can't get more simple than that. But I actually think there's a pretty depth, there's like a depth to that that maybe maybe because I'm an English major and I'm just like, I read into things a little more. But I actually think it's not as simple as you think. I think there's a lot that is stated behind that. You know, you're coming out and you're saying, this is who I am, and I'm damn proud. You know, I love that. So,
Yeah. Well, actually, I was petrified of coming out as
oh.
trans to people who didn't know me for the first probably year. But then through my friend, raiding people at the end of his streams, then I started meeting some other communities where like I started to feel safe. To the point where I started coming out to people and be like, and as those communities started to accept me and be very, open to who I am, then I felt more and more comfortable. And it is has always been important to me, whether it's with my sobriety or being trans or whatever, to be like visible for others, to be a beacon that so the next person coming along who might be transitioning or getting sober or, insert life condition right here. Can easily find me and be like, hey, I'm going through this, and that way I can help them. Like that's super important to me always.
I love that. And just on that, to wrap that point up, is there a piece of advice maybe that you would like, if you could pick one piece of advice that helped you in that transition, is there maybe one little piece of advice that you could give to other people? Because I know there are other people, obviously, like you said, struggling with that identity, maybe that you could share with them.
Yeah, I think my number one piece of advice I give to anybody, regardless of what their situation, is to find community, both in person and like we live in this beautiful medium where we can connect to people from all over. But like just finding community, finding people you can rely upon who are going to love you and support you no matter what you're going through. Because that's sometimes, depending on what your life circumstances are, that's easier said than done. So when you're going through the hard stuff, having a community that you can lean on is like super important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. Thank you. Do you have a favorite game?
Oh my goodness. So a lot of these like favorite type questions, I'm like, I always have to have like a plethora of
Oh,
answers
go
for
ahead
like
and
the
give me a
big.
couple.
Yeah. So like all of these coming up are like that. But my number one favorite game of all time is Final Fantasy VII. That changed my relationship to gaming tremendously. I love a good plot, and that game for me was just like so much plot, ups and downs, drama, villain, da, 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 like it was just great. I just loved it. And it was like the perfect game for me at my age. Being in my mid-30s, that game just like hit right that sweet spot at the right time in my life.
I
And
love
then
that.
because I do a lot of horror games lately, Alien Isolation has become one of my favorite games of all time.
Oh my God! Shattered! First of all, is it D's favorite game? Is it 8 or 7 or 8 or is it? Oh my God, I can't remember. I know it's a Final
Oh
Fantasy
gosh,
game.
D really likes eight.
Is it 8? Oh. I can never remember. I'm the worst. I know 9. Okay, I know it was one of. So
Nine.
when you said that, I was like, I know she loves one of those, and I know she's a big Final Fantasy person. Okay, that's awesome. And then Shattered is a huge, huge Alien Isolation nerd, and I totally understand it now because now I've played through the game,
Yeah.
I've watched the movies. Do you have okay? So have you finished the game yet, or have you played
Yeah,
it multiple times? Do you have a favorite?
I haven't played it multiple times.
You have a favorite moment, like a memory from playing that game? Like, do you have a memory that just kind of stands out to you? You're just like, oh, Alien Isolation. That memory comes to mind.
Oh gosh. I mean, the first one is like the relief of the end credits. I was like almost crying. I'm just like, just like I can't believe it. Because that was like my first horror video game. That was the first game I played when I decided to become a horror streamer
Yeah.
because I do hate horror.
Yeah.
So the fact that I got through that was like, oh my gosh. But gosh, like when you reach the alien hive deep into the core, there's just like so much. Like there's so many moments in that game where when you're in the infirmary and it's the first time the alien's getting real aggro on you and you have to like get through that. I for my birthday stream a couple months ago, I started like at 1 a.m, I started to replay Alien Isolation, and I got to the infirmary, and I was just like, no.
No.
I don't have this in me anymore. It was like I was breezing through it, and then I got to that part, I'm like, no, I'm sorry. Oh, I can't do this again.
I know what you're feeling. I remember the credits rolling, and the tears just started rolling, because I was like, it is done. It's over. I'm free. I know that feeling.
I mean, the last like 25% of that game was so hard. I almost rage quit a couple of times.
Yeah.
You know, there's that one area where everything's like on fire and you have to like, you go to one end of it, you turn something on, and then you go back to the door to leave, and it flips a breaker back where you just were, and you have to like go through it again and again. And the alien is super aggro and like can hear everything you do. And you're just like, I almost rage quit. I died so many times because I was also, my resource management was terrible. So I had like nothing to help me get through this part anymore. And so I was just super, just almost quit the game right then and there.
I was like super panicked about using anything because Shattered was guiding me through it. And I remembered from the beginning, he was like, the alien starts to learn when you use stuff and then it becomes less like effective, and I created everything and I held on to it. I didn't use it for like the whole game because I was like, I can't let him get used to any of it, so I will not use any of it.
See, my problem is I didn't understand the crafting system, so I just didn't make anything for like the entire game.
It was confusing.
It wasn't until like it wasn't until the very end that I even like realized I could be making this stuff. So
it was too late by then.
Yeah, I wish I would have had a noisemaker far sooner in the game.
I'm actually which when impressed.
When I started the replay, I was like, I was a crafting machine. I like, oh yeah, this is great. This is, but
yeah,
I don't know if I'll ever play that game again.
I think that your life was harder because you didn't have stuff. That sounds so much more difficult.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the last 25% of the game, I had like nothing. I'm just like, I had like one noisemaker near, you know, when there's like three hunting you at like near the very end. Yeah, I had like one item to like get through it.
Like, please save me.
Literally, but the successful run through of it, I chuck a noisemaker when there's like three of them in the same room, and I just bolt for the door to get to the spacewalk. And I finally made it one time. And just thank goodness.
Oh my gosh, I'm having anxiety just reliving this.
Yeah.
That's funny how those games that like we never expect, or like you didn't like ever think about being a horror streamer, but you played this game and it has, despite the fact that it was terrifying and you had relief when it was done, it's still one of your favorite games because I feel like I was able, like it's one of mine too, in a weird way, because I have such a respect for the craft of that game. It is immaculate. It is so well made. Like you can't help but be impressed with it.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, especially because immediately afterwards, I played the game Outlast, where the AI of the enemies is so simple. And it's like, basically like, nope, it's going to walk on this path. Mm-hmm. If it sees you, it's the bad guy's going to chase you maybe a little bit, but it's real easy to lose him. And so to go from that AI of Alien Isolation to Outlast, I was like, well, this is disappointing.
Please.
Maybe I would have liked Outlast more had I not played it after Alien Isolation, but it was such a letdown after playing Alien Isolation.
That's wild.
And then you watch the world record of Alien Isolation where he beats it in like 21 minutes and he never sees a single alien except for like a cutscene.
I don't.
Just like, wow.
I'm going to need to watch that because I'm struggling with even fathoming how it took me like 2 months to finish that game.
Well, that's the other thing I really like about Alien Isolation and also the Visage and a handful of other, like, horror games tend to be really short. Like, Outlast was like 6 to 8 hours, maybe. Mm-hmm. But when a game like Alien Isolation takes like 15, 16 hours, and that's like going at a good clip, I respect that so much more when there's a lot more content in a game than some other horror games that I've played
after that. Just like
jump
scares, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Outlast, like the jump scares were like just the first 15 minutes and then it kind of cools down and you're kind of like,
wow.
I wasn't even that impressed with the jump scares.
Oh, no. It's like, listen, I've mastered the difficult AI. If I can beat that game.
Well, that's the thing with playing horror games, as much as I have since then, is like I have gotten desensitized to horror. Like it takes a lot more now to get me scared and to make me jump than it did back in August when I played Alien Isolation.
Oh my God, I'm so jealous. I'm waiting for that day to come. Maybe someday.
Someday.
Why do you stream? So what, I know that you said you used to support your friend when he started streaming. So what flipped it to making you want to start your own?
As a performer, I've always been interested in connection. And I actually, I was in the honors program in my undergrad, and my honors thesis was about how to train actors to cultivate connection, like on an energetic level. Oh. So like from actor to actor, from actor to audience, and also audience member to audience member. A lot of theater I've done, more of the avant-garde stuff, is all about connecting audience to themselves, mm-hmm. and like taking the actors out of the loop in a way. Wow. So like that type of stuff always interests me. And what then flipped the switch on Twitch is like starting to run into some other streamers. I'm always looking for streamers who, if their community is larger, I want to still be able to have a connection to the streamer. I don't want to sit in the streams that like have thousands upon thousands where you can't even like, the streamer isn't going to read your message. The chat isn't going to be able to read your message. Mm-hmm. Like those don't interest me. I want to be mm-hmm. able to sit in a stream where I can have a conversation with both the streamer and with other community members in the chat. And once I saw people having the type of communities like that, where it was very connected, both on the platform like and out of the platform, say Discord or whatever, like that was like, you know what? I want to try this. And then at first I was just doing art streams, which was really like laid back, chill vibes. And then like COVID and, you know, pandemic happened, and I started having more time to mm-hmm. stream and develop as a streamer. And so then it just like, it grew and grew and grew until I was like, no, you know what? I want to do this. I want to really try to like do this for real.
That's so cool. Is there perhaps a streamer or somebody in your life that really either supported or encouraged or inspired, someone that you can kind of, maybe one or two people that you can think of that helped make that dream or whatever, a reality, that kind of helped, you know what I mean? Like push that dream forward.
Yeah, I would say the first one was Coco Confession, 100% across the board. Like I would not be here without Coco Confession and some of her early support to me when I first began streaming. And then like after that, when I met 8-Bit D last May, we didn't become friends like right away, me and D, but like the last like 5 months or so, as D and I become closer and closer friends, and she's had her journey on Twitch, like total 100% inspiration and just absolute love for each other. And I've learned so much from her as well, because we talk about streaming like constantly.
Yes, I love that. It's wonderful to find like the surprise, like the people maybe you'd never really know, like where that person's gonna come from and how they're gonna connect to other people. And that's why I love Twitch. It's such a small, there's a lot, it's like it seems big, but it really is like small community. And you'll be shocked, you'll jump into a random stream and there might be someone in there that you know, or someone that knows a streamer that you know. And it's really neat how you can become interconnected like that. I love that. Thank you. So a little bit on that same thread, do you have a favorite moment during streaming, something that stands out to you as particularly special or funny or made you cry or anything like that?
I would say, my birthday stream back in October was, I mean, there were moments beforehand where I was like, hey, I kind of like this thing, but that particular stream, what I feel like it was the perfect mixture of like playing games and my clowning coming out and like everything just feeling like it came together to make, and it was a 24-hour stream, and it just felt like everything about it felt right. And like I felt like I was riding the energy wave, like I was actually surfing on it for that whole 24 hours, even like the last hour or two when I was real sleep drunk. But yeah, like I remember like hitting the stop stream button and just being like, wow, that is right there. That was the formula for how I think I'm going to like become successful at being a streamer, a content creator.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful. I love that moment of, this is why I do this. This is why I started. This is what I've been looking for. That's awesome. I love, okay. Compared to all these moments, this next question seems so silly. But what's your favorite color?
I don't know if you could tell, but it might be purple.
Purple?
Purple, yes. I love a good purple stitch.
It is. It's beautiful. I love your background. It's so pretty. For anyone that can't see it, it's beautiful. It's like a starry night, and it's right. Or it's just like,
yeah. I've got some celestial projection going on over a purple LED lighting situation.
I love it. It's gorgeous. I have like dust on my computer, and I was like, is that stars? Like, I was looking at dust. Do you have any tattoos, or want a tattoo, or any opinions on tattoos?
I've got a number of tattoos. I did not get any tattoos until I started transitioning, and now I have like 4 tattoos. My first one is over my heart, and it's like a Enzo circle, like a Buddhist Zen circle, with the words, the form is the void is the form, around it.
Oh.
Which is like, it's a phrase from Taoism. So when I got... When I went to clown school, one of my classes I had to take was Tai Chi class. Tai Chi class got me interested in Taoism. Taoism, as I became sober about a year after clown school, was like my first feeling of spirituality. And so that phrase, the form is the void is the form, is that like vague recognizing that what you see in front of you is an illusion, and that the space between us is just as much of an illusion, that we're all part of like the same swirling mass of universe, just swirling around itself, knowing itself through itself. Mm-hmm. And I wanted it as a tattoo for years. When I decided to finally get a tattoo, that's what I pulled the trigger on.
That's so beautiful. Wow. I'm like blown away. That's incredible. That's incredible. And I don't know if I can ever share a photo of that, but if you ever find a way to appropriately share one, I would love to see. Or maybe a picture of what it looks like. I would love to see something. Maybe something. That sounds incredible to go through the hardships and then come out finding a peace and serenity inside of yourself, and then to make that a part of yourself permanently, I think is a beautiful story. I love it. Are any of the other tattoos kind of a similar, like, are you okay with sharing about those? Or
The one tattoo that I can show you is on my wrist here. Hold on, let me move my mic. Let's see. Do not be a magician, be magic. And that is a Leonard Cohen quote from the book Beautiful Losers. And for me, the first reason of like why I put it on my wrist where I can see it is literally I was working in a cubicle at the time, and I just like wanted something visually interesting on my wrist that I could like look at to like gain my interest during the day when I'm really bored. I could just like, oh yeah. But for me, what it means, you know, as a performer, as a clown, as so many levels, I don't want to be the illusion that I am like, you know, a good person or magic, so to speak. I want to actually be the magic. I want to actually be a good person. It's all about not being, you know, the person. I want to be genuine is really what it comes down to. I want to actually be genuine.
Literally melting my heart. You're the most beautiful person. Oh my God. That's such a wonderful message to just see every day, to have visual. Mm-hmm. Because it kind of goes in line with what your other tattoo is like. I feel like you realize that there's a lot of illusion around you. And like, you're like, hey, I want to be real. I want to be something real, and not, I don't want to come across as fake to people or whatever. And I just think that's, oh, I love that. Oh, it's so pretty.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love tattoos.
And then I have on my left leg, like the entire upper left leg, is a giant hand-drawn scorpion with the Scorpio symbol, because I am the Scorpio queen.
Own it.
Owning it 100%. And actually a sweetie of mine is like actually tattooed it on my body. They have a tattoo machine themselves, and they put it on me.
That's bad. Oh my God.
It was one of the more painful tattoos because they weren't very good at controlling the depth of the needle. So sometimes it like, okay, that's definitely a needle going deep into my leg. But
oh, God. Oh, my God. It,
worth it.
I believe you.
Yeah.
And then a fourth one.
I have one more tattoo. One more. It's actually now on the opposite side of my chest from the Zen circle. It's a pair of combat boots, black combat boots, in the heels where like a Converse logo would go. It's like on one side it's an anarchy symbol and on the other is an equity symbol. Basically, like, I'm a little bit of an anarchist and I do believe in equity rather than equality even. Mm-hmm. And then it says above it, the delusion must be smashed, which is actually a really close, it's almost a complete quotation from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. On page 30, paragraph 3, it says, the delusion that we are like other people or presently maybe must be smashed. So I love that phrase because it reminds me not to go drinking again, that I can't fool myself to thinking, oh, yeah, I can just have a beer. Mm-hmm. But it also then means to me a lot of like political statements about, you know, inequality and, you know, don't want to get too political here, but, you know, certain fascist elements or any type of oppression mm-hmm. that exists, I want to be fighting it.
Yes. So. I love that. They all kind of, I love when tattoos have such personal meaning and, you know, like you're, I'm someone that, I mean, I don't have any yet, but I've got a few planned out that I'm going to be getting eventually because I'm a baby with pain. And so I've just been holding off on it. But I like when they, first of all, it seems like they all kind of tie together and just another just expression of who you are. And they have so much meaning. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you're getting tattoos, and this is my own personal opinion, I feel like they should have that kind of meaning. I love it. I love like you're, you know, you're putting this on your body permanently. And it's expression. And you can put silly stuff, obviously. We can put silly stuff. But, like, when I hear stories about, you know, you break it down and all of these different meanings, for me, they just mean so much more. And they're so much more beautiful. And I could just, it just shows, like, you are just, like, blossoming as a person before my eyes as I learn all of these things. And I just love it. Okay, so what is something you love to learn about?
Ever since I started my own theater company about 6 years ago now, I actually love learning about business stuff and branding and marketing and like all of that type of business. I don't think I could, like, if I find a good book on that subject, I will read it very quickly.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, I was a math nerd growing up. I almost was a math major instead of a theater major. So I love anything that's like analytical and stuff. I surprisingly don't read a whole lot of like fiction these days anymore. It's weird because I used to love fiction and all types of stuff, but it just doesn't do as much for me in my mid-30s, I guess.
Do you have, well, I guess that's one of my questions. Actually, that's my next question. Do you have a favorite book? Do you have like something that has really changed you or maybe made an impression on you?
I have a few. The first book that like truly changed my life was Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card.
Oh my God.
Just there's something about that book. And, you know, I was a really smart kid, you know, and there's something about the psychological aspect of Ender and his intellect, like against literally the universe in that book. Mm-hmm. That I could really resonate with growing up, where especially like in a small town, I didn't have the opportunities to really like push myself on an intellectual level. You know, it's also like the internet wasn't quite what it is today. So it's like there, what you could go on the internet, you could learn things, but it wasn't like what it is today.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot I really, really resonate in that book. But then later in life, especially after I got sober, anything by the monk Thich Nhat Hanh. I could read anything of his every single day. He's a Buddhist monk. He lives in France now. He was exiled from Vietnam in the 60s and just is a beautiful writer. Also one of like the best Buddhist writers I've ever read, like in terms of trying to explain the dogma of Buddhism. He keeps it really simple and really beautiful and metaphorical in a way that isn't too inaccessible So I love that.
I love that. Could you like maybe DM me?
Yeah.
The name of that book? I would love to. I love nonfiction myself. So I would love to check that out. I love reading about other religions. I love learning about other beliefs and mental, like mind states of mind and all that kind of stuff. So that'd be really cool.
His most famous book is Living Buddha, Living Christ, where he actually like compared Buddhism with Christianity and where they're similar and where they might differ. But my favorite is like Fragrant Palm Leaves, which is like mostly like collections of a journal of his over a course of time in the 60s. Mm-hmm. But I'll DM you some of that information.
Cool. I look forward to it.
And then like anyone who's like wants to get in a political rant or like learning about queer issues, is there's a book called That's Revolting: Queer Strategies to Avoiding Assimilation. That is like when I was coming out, a trans friend bought me this book for my birthday, and it just like changed my life. It really is a great way to like catch up on the issues affecting the LGBT community, whether and like the intersectionality with other identities, whether that's people of color or, you know, indigenous rights or even ageism. Mm-hmm. Like it covers all these issues from very different perspectives in a way that I just really love.
Oh, very cool. So, thank you. I love that. That's fantastic. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that's going to help in any way. I suppose Ender's Game is amazing.
Yes. Agreed.
Do you have a favorite? Let's see. I'm going to skip over those two because let's do fictional character. Let's do something a little silly.
I'm a sucker for Batman.
Oh my God, I love Batman.
Yeah.
Give me why.
The first movie I ever watched was the 1989 Batman with Michael Keaton. And I've been obsessed with Batman ever since, even through the highs and the lows of the Batman franchise. Doesn't matter. I unfortunately, the only time I've been unable to like physically watch a Batman movie was some of like the very last, like the Justice League stuff.
Yeah.
I've been unable to watch those, unfortunately, but which is weird. If I can make it through Batman and Robin, I should be able to like survive all Batman movies, but here we are.
I love it. No, that's amazing. That makes me so happy. You know what? It's typically people come on here and they name characters I've never heard before. So like, it's great to hear someone. I'm like, I know Batman.
Well, I was thinking of the question earlier today. I was like, do I go with like Edmond Dantes from Count of Monte Cristo or go with Batman?
Okay, time out. Can that be like, no. Edmund, oh my God, I love the Count of Monte Cristo so much. Okay, listen, you're talking to a literary nerd here, okay? Like,
yeah.
I respect that he's a runner-up.
I mean, it's a great revenge story. It's like one of the best revenge stories of all time, right?
It's so good.
And being a Scorpio, I love a good revenge situation.
Of course you do!
There's so much to be learned from that book on how to properly get revenge for the wrongs that you've acquired.
So good. Okay, then what is a favorite historical figure?
I have a couple here. I put Sylvia Rivera is one. She's a trans woman. She passed away like 10-ish years ago, 12 years ago. But she was at the forefront of LGBT rights and trans rights in the late 60s and early 70s until the movement kind of betrayed her and treated her like crap. And then she like left the movement for decades, struggled with a lot of like substance abuse, homelessness, da 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 da. And then like near the end of her life, sort of came back into the fight and just really super inspiring the stuff that she endured in the early fight and the stuff she was able to accomplish in the late stages of her life.
Oh, wow. Okay. And that's amazing. Wow.
Yes.
I had no idea that it was started like all the way back then. I can't even imagine how difficult a movement like that would have been back then. So like to be at the forefront of it, that takes some guts and takes a special kind of person, I would imagine. She must be quite the person, or must have been.
Well, she, I mean, like one brief story is that she was literally part of a group of people who, I can't remember if this was early 70s or maybe late 60s, but she was part of a group that was writing like an LGBT civil rights bill for the state of New York. And, or maybe it's just the city of New York. I'm not sure. Anyway, she was part of this group, was writing in a lot of transgender protections that had never been done before. And at the zero hour, when she wasn't there, her lesbian and gay comrades with, you know, a straight sort of legislative body cut all of the transgender protections out of the bill and passed it. And
why? Do we know why? We don't really know why.
Because the trans community, and this is still like, this fight is still going on. There's still a fight between like gay and lesbian cisgender folks and trans folks sometimes. Mm. There's still people in the gay and lesbian community who are cis who tend to want to swipe the trans community like under the carpet, unfortunately. Especially awesome. Trans people who don't, who are very visibly trans, you know? Like, I'm a very visibly trans woman. I'm not doing everything in my power to change my voice or feminize myself, you know?
Beautiful.
And so there are, well, thank you. but because of that, like, there are some people out there, I've been attacked by people within the LGBT community for simply being who I am, even because I'm not like matching up to like their idea of cisness, of like to that I'm not trying to appear cis in all stages of my life. And that battle still exists, unfortunately.
Probably, yeah, so, I can see that.
Yeah. Like, it was so bad with Sylvia Rivera and her friend Marsha P. Johnson, that there was one of the first Pride parades, you know, a few years after Stonewall, which Sylvia Rivera was there during the Stonewall riots. She was, like, one of the people who started that stuff.
Wow.
So the Pride to celebrate Stonewall a few years later, she and Marsha Johnson and other trans people weren't allowed to march with the parade because people felt they were too controversial or that they looked bad for the civil rights fight. And so what they did is they marched in front of the parade anyway. And then when like speakers were speaking after the parade, Sylvia Rivera forced herself on stage near the end of it and gave a pretty angry speech, which actually you can find on YouTube, and it's amazing. She shuts people down pretty hardcore for their behavior.
That's fascinating. And I knew that there was like the bi community has had struggles with that kind of recently. I mean, I'm not super heavily involved, but I've heard from a few of my bi friends that they're struggling with this kind of stuff. And it's sad because you guys in reality should be, you try to be united because it's a hard fight that you're fighting. Right. I mean, it's not easy. And I feel like there should be a forefront where you guys are kind of together and not causing division. But yeah, I can, that's hard. I'm sorry that that's something that you have to deal with every day. We love you.
It's like, the fortunate thing, like not to be all doom and gloom, is that it is getting better compared to like 10, 20 years ago. The trans communities had a lot of positive things moving forward. The Human Rights Campaign, which has a historically bad reputation with trans folks in the last 5 to 10, 15 years, have been working to repair that damage and move in a positive forward direction. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of work to be done, but we're trying to head in the right direction anyway.
Well, thank you for that's amazing. Seriously. To wrap this up and then real quick chat, I'm going to ask my last question here. If you guys have anything you want to ask Erica before we wrap it up, you're welcome to start adding at me with your question so I can see it. Erica, for the last question is, what is a piece of life or streaming advice? You can do one or the other, but something streaming-wise that you can give to maybe people as something you've learned as a streamer, or maybe a piece of life advice that you've learned along your path that you want to share.
God, that's... I think this applies to both life and streaming. Something that I've been learning on my journey, especially after I got sober about 10 years ago, is that the more vulnerable I allow myself to be in safe places, you know, there are spaces that it's not safe to be vulnerable, and that's cool. But when when you have places that are safe to be vulnerable in, I used to think when I was learning to be vulnerable, I was literally like, this feels like I'm a lobster being thrown into boiling water and being, you know, cooked alive. Mm-hmm. That's what being vulnerable felt like. But the more I did it with safe people, the more comfortable it became. And I have found now that every time I allow myself to be vulnerable and open and goofy and weird and eccentric and like all the things that make up me, the more I allow myself to do that, the more positive results I see in my life. So whether that's as a streamer with like the type of content you're producing or just in life, allowing yourself the gift of being vulnerable with others, I strongly encourage.
Oh my God, that makes me cry on my own stream. That's so beautiful. And to know that you've found that, you know, community in your real life, and you have found a community here where you can be yourself and hopefully find places with people that you can be vulnerable with, you know, even if it's not in real life or whatever, and be your real self. That's, oh my God, I'm not going to cry. D says, Eric, why are you so sus?
What? D's the one murdering me in Among Us. I don't know what she's talking about.
The gloves come off and the hair comes out. This is from Ian. What is your favorite quote that gets you through hard times? I know that they explain their tattoo, but I'm curious to see if there's another quote.
Another quote. You know, oddly enough, I had a really, like, I go through a lot of mental health stuff, and the song All You Need Is Love by the Beatles literally saved my life. So sometimes when I'm feeling real down, I just replay like the end loop of that, of like, all you need is love, all you need is love. And then like some of the other voices that come with stuff like, That hits me a lot as a quote that always has come back into my life since my teenage years.
It's beautiful. This is from D. Erica, for real though, what is your ideal right now for a successful streamer / content creator career? Do you have an end goal in mind?
Oh gosh, that's a kind of a big question there, D. I think for myself, the things that, it's about finding what you're interested in, I think. As an artist, I've always been like, what am I interested? What questions do I have right now that I can explore through what I'm doing artistically, aka like streaming? So for me, my interest lies in like, how do I combine my clowning, my goofy enough, you know, how do I combine that and like let myself be that on stream, which is really hard. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm not used to performing like to camera compared to like being in a live audience. How do I make that into something that people like want to come and see? And it's not just like weird avant-garde theater. Mm-hmm. That's just like, it's just me being weird for no purpose.
Right.
And then from that, it's like, yeah, how do I build a brand that encompasses who I am as a trans woman, as a sober human being? You know, all these things that are really important to me. How do I just like roll them all into something that, that I can then like release to people in a way that like is engaging, that people want to see and come back to, and you know, hopefully I can wrap around them like a warm blanket through my content.
For me and Wingles, because we're for everyone that may be new here, doesn't know, we're all part of the Mischief Managers, and I remember going into your stream for the first time and I messaged Wingles and I'm like, you need to watch her stream. It's everything that encompasses the Mischief Managers. And he came in, he was like, oh my God, 100%. It was both of our first time being in there. And we know that when we find somebody where the first time we're in a stream, we feel that it's something special. So what you're doing is 100%, you're doing everything correct. I don't want that to come across as like, I know everything that should be done correctly. And you know, the Mission Manager is the only, I'm not saying that anyway. I'm just saying for us, your community and what you built is beautiful. And I felt it the moment I came in. Wingles felt it the moment he came in. I know that everyone that we have sent over, you know, since you joined, I've had people say, this is my first time being in her stream and it felt at home. So thank you for, you know, bringing her to the community. So you're doing it right. And I appreciate you being being here and being a part of the team and joining it with us. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, that means a lot to me, just because like, I met D and I've really always looked up to D. And then like the first day of Mischief that you did once I was friends with Dee, and like I got to meet the rest of you all, mischief managers, I was like, oh my God, this is like, you know, I wasn't part of any stream family, but they were like, oh my gosh, like I love this team from top of the roster down to the bottom of the roster. This is just like great. And, you know, I do believe in like mentorship and like finding good people to like look at and like study and learn from. And like, you all have been that for me as well, watching your journeys.
Oh my God, I love it. You're just going to make me love you more and more. Every word you say. I think it looks like I got three more questions. This is from Shattered. Erica, in what way has streaming changed your life? Did you ever think it would get to where it is now?
Not when I started. I was really super casual. I mean, literally, it was me laying on my bed with my laptop open, and I had my iPad connected to like do art on my laptop. I had very little interest. And streaming has given me the gift of like a different community than what I had. You know, I've genuinely made some really amazing friends on this platform who I talk to like every single day. It'd be weird not to at least like reach out and say, hope you're having a good day or something. And now like I've actually at the beginning of 2021 have gone full-time streamer. I literally have quit my day job that for the last couple of years, I've like, God, I want to quit this job. God, I want to quit this job. So it's terrifying. It's really scary. Like every single day, I'm like, oh my God, did I like screw up my life? That being said, it seems once again, by being vulnerable and taking a leap into the abyss, which is like an image from Clown that we always were told to like just leap into the abyss. It seems to be going, not maybe according to plan, but it's going in a direction that feels positive to me.
That's wonderful. I absolutely like it all start. You have to make those risks with streaming. And that is probably one of the biggest ones, is to decide to go full time. It's one of the scariest ones. It's the ones that you're going to question for a long time. Like, was this the right decision? And just know that you have a support system that is completely backing you. And we love you to death for that. And I wish you nothing but the best with that decision. And I hope that it does pan out, continue to pan out in the way that you hoped it does. This is from Fingo. Would you ever consider playing Faz with Otter, even though her community are toxic heathens?
Yes. Oh, did I join on?
We played a game together.
Yeah. But yeah, I have loved Phasmo ever since, like, you know, like everyone else, it feels like this past fall, like, yeah, I love this game. I don't play as much as Otter does, but I'm always willing to, step on them. Actually, today was my first time since they made all the thermometer changes. I'm like, oh, this is, I can no longer rely on my good friend the thermometer to tell me all the truths in life.
Tell me all the truths in life. I love it. Here's a second question. Do you have any movies you'd suggest Otter has to watch? Since we just finished Aliens, what movie can always come back to watch as in a favorite one or that always affects you?
I mean, other than like every Batman movie that's ever existed between the Michael Keaton universe and the Christopher Nolan trilogy, I'm a sucker for The Godfather.
I haven't seen The Godfather. There we go.
I once made the mistake of doing a first date of watching The Godfather. I'll never do that again.
Oh no.
But I just like, I was a teenager and I just discovered that movie and I just really had to watch it with her, and we broke up shortly thereafter. Which we should have.
Blame it on The Godfather. That's just The Godfather's fault. I haven't seen it, so I'm just going to add it to my list.
There we go.
Okay, I think, is that everybody's questions? Okay, I'm gonna wrap this up, guys. If anybody has a really quick, does that include the Adam West Batmans?
They're a guilty pleasure. The Batman movie with Adam West has one of the most hilarious sequences where he has a bomb that he's trying to get rid of and he just can't do it. And you have to see it. I don't want to describe it too much in detail, okay, but it is hilarious. It's just a funny, it's a funny Batman, and that's okay.
That's okay. Sometimes Batman doesn't have to be all dark and brooding.
Right.
D wants to know your favorite Lothar books.
Lord of the Ring books. Oh, gosh. I've read The Silmarillion. That's
damn! That's a feat in itself, I've heard.
Yeah, I had to read in college, which is the only reason I read it. But in a way, it has become like my favorite book. Mostly because basically everything before humans enter the picture is like a beautiful mythology story. I mean, it's all a mythology story about, like, you know, how Middle Earth came to be, how it is. But there's something beautiful when the gods are all, like, you know, having power struggles, and then the elves come and start screwing things up, but then the humans come and screw things up a lot. And so I just love The Silmarillion a lot.
That's so cool. I need to read those. I'm not going to lie. I've tried.
Never. I will say Tolkien is not one of my favorite writers of all time.
Yeah. I love the movies. I've tried. I need to get better. I'm determined. You know, I'm making it a goal this year to at least read one of them. Okay. Stop asking questions for me. It's for her or about me to suggest for me. Okay, we're gonna wrap it up. I love you. Okay, guys, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for participating and for being here to support Erica and for asking questions. Erica, thank you so much for being here. There's not a lot of words that describe, but how much it means to you that you said yes. I always get very nervous asking people, like, do you want to come on my podcast? And you made that so easy, and you were just so excited, and it means a lot. It means a lot that you were here, and I hope you have a lovely rest of your evening.
Thank you. Have a good rest of your stream. Have a lot of fun.
Good night, darling.
Good night.